Well, good morning to everyone. If you would care to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, we're going to continue our Bible study in the book of Matthew chapter 12 this morning. Before we begin, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful for this, another opportunity that you have given to your people out of the storehouses of your mercy and grace to hear your gospel preached, to hear one more time the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd bless us this morning, that you would bless us with an hour of true worship. Father, enable us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Enable us to forget about all of the cares and responsibilities and goings on of this life and this world. And Father, for just this hour, enable us to set our affection on things above, to give us a hunger and a thirst to hear again of Christ our Savior. Father, enable us to hear. Give us a mind that would retain the things that you would have us to hear this morning. Give us a heart that would believe what we hear this morning. Give us a heart that you have made good ground, that your seed might be planted in our heart, that we not lose it, that not be swept away, but would see that you would plant in our heart and cause to grow to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and bring forth 30, 60, 100 fold according to your will and purpose. Father, we're thankful for the many blessings of this life. Even at this time of such trouble and turmoil in our world, Father, you've blessed. You've especially blessed your people, and we're thankful. We pray your continued hand of mercy and grace and leadership be upon us. And Father, we pray you'd bless your word. Oh, how we pray you'd cause your word to go forth in power. There's so much that we do need in this life, but Father, we need Thee. We need Your Word. We need to be fed in Your Word. We need to be given life from Your Word. Cause Your Word to go forth in power. Father, reveal to Your people, reveal to our hearts, reveal to this world Your glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reveal Your glory somehow, some way, in these difficult times, reveal your glory to us, Father, we pray. And we do pray for our world. We pray for our country that, Father, you would move in some way to give relief from this awful sickness that is in the world and suffering of people. And Father, above all, we pray that you would enable your people to be able to meet together again to worship thee. Be with our leaders and our medical people, that you enable them to lead us the right way that we should go and to provide some relief from this suffering. Father, for those who are hurting and sick and bereaved, Father, we pray for them. Those who have so recently lost loved ones, Father, we pray for them. We pray for our brother Dan, the loss of his mother. We pray for Shelby Fortner and that whole family and the church there at Danville, that you would, in the loss of our brother Fortner, that you would comfort their hearts and that you would lead and guide and provide there for them. Others who are sick and hurting, and Father, we pray for them. Thou art the great physician, and we pray that you comfort their hearts and heal their bodies according to your will and purpose. And all these things we ask, Father, in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's for His sake we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, I've titled our lesson this morning, The Lord of the Sabbath. In verse 8 of our text here, Matthew chapter 12, the Savior tells us that's who He is, the Lord of the Sabbath. He says, "For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day." Now, what does that mean, that the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lord of the Sabbath? The subject of this whole passage that we'll look at this morning is spiritual rest. That's the subject. Spiritual rest is believing Christ. It's resting in Christ. Now, there's no rest for your soul to be found in trying to keep the law. There's no rest for your soul to be found and trying to observe the ceremonies of religion and to keep all the man's religious traditions. There's no rest for your soul there. Spiritual rest for your soul is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is a summary of what we see in our text this morning. I want us to see about three things this morning. First is this. I want us to see the wrong view of rest. I want us to see where rest does not come from. Rest cannot come from trying to observe the commandments of the law. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 12. You got it? At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples weren't hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." Now, no care that the disciples were hungry. Your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Now, the Pharisees were furious about this. I mean, they were just furious. You can just see them coming to the Lord just in a frenzy. The Lord's disciples picked these ears of corn and ate them as they walked through the field on the Sabbath day. And they said, "Well, you've broken the law. You're no religious leader at all. You're a heretic to let your disciples break the law this way." Now, it's important for us to understand right off that the disciples did not break the law of the Sabbath. Acts of necessity, acts of mercy, and acts of worship were all permitted on the Sabbath day. And the disciples, what they broke was the tradition of the Jews. They didn't break the Mosaic law. They broke the tradition of the Jews. The Pharisees, over the years, have added pages and pages and pages of restrictions, additions to the law of the Sabbath that God gave to Moses. One writer I read this week made this statement. He said it was harder to rest on the Sabbath than it was to work the other 6 days of the week because of all these additional restrictions that the Pharisees had added. And the tradition that they'd added, particularly in what happened on this day, was apparently it was okay to pick corn on the Sabbath day, but you could not rub the corn on the Sabbath day. What a distinction that they made. This is what they added. And that is exactly what you get when you try to follow the traditions of men and not the gospel. The traditions of men are constantly changing, constantly being added to. The gospel never changes. There's no additions, no subtractions ever to the gospel. Trying to follow the traditions of men will lead you to this kind of error. See, man's nature is to restrict, 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 and keep restricting what people do outwardly, and to totally ignore the heart. Man, by nature, always ignores the spiritual nature of the law. They're very concerned with the outward, but they ignore the spiritual nature of the law. Man, by nature, always ignores the true meaning of the law. The true meaning of the law is not in the outward. It's the inner. It's in the heart. The man, by nature, always ignores the true meaning of the Word of God, the true meaning of the gospel. Man, by nature, gets so caught up in the form and the ceremony of religion that if we're not careful, we'll miss the purpose of religion altogether. We get so caught up in the form and the ceremony of religion, we miss the life and the blessing that's found in Christ. We get our mind and eye off of Christ onto all of our religious traditions and ceremonies of religion. And this is what the Lord shows us that happens when we follow man's religion. In verse 3, he says unto these Pharisees, these religious leaders, these religious scholars, he said unto them, "Have you not read?" Oh, have you not read? He asked these men, "Have you not read God's word? Haven't you understood?" He told them in another place, "You do search the scriptures. So haven't you understood what God's word says when you read it? You don't understand." Can you imagine what an insult this was to the Pharisees? Have you not read? The Lord insults them, doesn't he? He insults what should be insulted. He insults man's pride. He insults man's arrogance. He insults man's self-righteous nature. He insults how men try to add to God's word. And what the Lord says, this insult to the Pharisees should be so shocking to us. It should wake us up and make us listen. He says, have you not read that acts of necessity are permitted on the Sabbath day? Verse 3, he says, but he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Have you not read and understood what that story means, the Lord says? Now you know this, the only people who were allowed to eat those loaves of showbread in the temple were the priests. That was the law. That showbread was for the priest and his family to eat. Only the priest and his family were permitted by the law to eat that showbread. But that day David and his men, they were on the run from Saul, and they showed up and they ate that showbread. And they could do that and not be guilty of breaking the law, because eating that bread was an act of necessity. They were starving and they didn't have anything else to eat, and the law says that was an act of necessity. So it's not breaking, it's not a violation of the law. Well, then it was just fine, the Lord is saying, for his disciples to pick ears of corn and eat them too, when they were hungry, even though it was on the Sabbath day. This was an act of necessity. And there's a warning for us here. I think we ought to be careful. People can become so rigid. They can become so doctrinally straight that they become mean to people instead of being merciful, instead of being helpful. That was what was going on with the Pharisees at this time. And the Lord had to show them that acts of necessity are permitted on the Sabbath day. Then he shows us that work on the Sabbath day, actual work performed on the Sabbath day, work that was for the worship of God, that was permitted under the law. Verse 5, he says, or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Now remember, you know the law of the Sabbath is you can't work on the Sabbath day. But the priests on the Sabbath day in the temple, they worked all day long. They were offering sacrifices, several sacrifices every Sabbath day. And to offer that sacrifice, well, they had to take the animal. They had to work and they had to go get that animal. They had to kill that animal. They had to cut up that animal. They had to draw a quarter of that sacrifice up. They had to gather wood and put the wood on the altar and keep that fire going so they could have a burnt offering. There's a lot of work involved in that. They did that all day long. Also, on the Sabbath day, the priest would make the dough, and they would knead the dough to make the showbread, to put out on the table of showbread in the temple. They worked all day long. Yet they were blameless. They were not guilty of breaking the law of the Sabbath. Because work done in the service of God, work done in the worship of God, was permitted by the law. These men had forgotten the whole point of the Sabbath day was to worship God. They'd forgotten that. So then work, acts of done, you know, in the worship of God would be permitted by the law. That was the whole point of the Sabbath in the first place, was to worship God. Now the disciples were not priests, but they were with one a whole lot greater than the temple. Look here at verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. There's one greater than the temple. You men respect that temple? There's one greater than that here. And there's one far greater than all of your traditions here. The Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation himself is here. Righteousness himself is here. Salvation is in him. Righteousness is in him. Rest in him. The whole point of the law is here. And you're looking at these disciples eating a handful of corn, not looking at him who is salvation, who is righteousness. You're not looking at him in whom the whole Godhead rests in a body. You've got your eyes off the goal, off the main thing. The main thing is Christ, and you've got your eyes on the disciples eating some corn. My goodness. Well, next, the Lord shows us acts of mercy on the Sabbath day. Work to do, to perform an act of mercy on the Sabbath day was permitted. Verse 11. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Now here's the one who wrote the law. Says it's good. It's good. It's lawful to do well on the Sabbath day to perform an act of mercy. This goes back to what I said a minute ago. You know, we can get so caught up in being rigidly straight in our traditions and things that we become mean, unloving, and unmerciful. Now, by no means am I saying we should compromise the gospel to get along with people and make people feel good. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we can get so caught up in our traditions and the way we want to do things that we become mean, unloving, and unmerciful. You cannot compromise the gospel and not be unmerciful and unloving about it. You understand what I'm saying, right? We're not to compromise the gospel just to make people feel better. We're not in the feel-good business. We're not to compromise the gospel ever. But you cannot compromise and still be loving and caring about folks. And so this is what the Lord's saying. If you had an animal that fell into a pit on the Sabbath day, well, of course you'd lift it out. You're going to let the animal suffer down there. Of course you're going to lift it out. Your animal is your responsibility to take care of, and the law permitted an act of mercy like that. The law permitted an act of mercy to relieve an animal from suffering on the Sabbath day. Then of course, if the law permits you to do that for an animal, of course the law permits you to do an act of mercy. Work that is an act of mercy for a man, for a person. You know, God is merciful. That's God's character. He is merciful. So mercy is always permitted. Mercy is always permitted. Acts of mercy are permitted because you know what? Mercy is the whole point of God's law. Now, I promise you the Pharisees didn't know that. The law was not given so we would have something to do or not do that would make God happy with us. The law was written. The law was given to you and me to show us how much we need mercy because we can't make God happy with us, because we can't keep the law. So the law was given to show us our need of mercy. That's the whole point of the law. We need mercy. We need Christ. That's the whole point of the law. And the Pharisees had no understanding of that. So the wrong view of Sabbath rest, the wrong way to go about trying to get rest, is the works of the law. You'll never have rest by what you do or what you don't do trying to obey the law. That's the wrong view of the law. Well, then what is the right view of the Sabbath? That's the second thing I want to look at. What is the right view of the Sabbath? Well, the right view of the Sabbath law is the same view as all of the law. The whole point of Sabbath rest, the law of Sabbath rest, is to point us to Christ. To rest in Christ, who He is and what He has done for His people. My friend, don't ever try to rest in how well you've kept the law, how well you've kept religious ceremonies or the traditions of your fathers. The law can't give you rest. The ceremonies can't give you rest. The law, all it can do is give you more commandments. It can never give you rest. The ceremonies can't give you rest because salvation is not in the ceremony. Salvation is in a person. The law can't give us rest because we can't obey the law. All the law can do is condemn us. The law can never give a sinner rest. So the whole point of the Sabbath law is to tell us, don't rest in what you do or what you don't do, but rest in Christ. That's the whole point of the Sabbath law. Now, it is significant to note this. When did this conversation take place? It took place right after the Lord said, come unto me and rest. Look back up in chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Savior said, if you want rest, come to me. Come to a person. It's all in me. He tells the weary, if you are weary of trying and failing to keep the law, come to me and rest. Are you tired? Are you so just bone tired? Because you cannot keep the law. No matter how hard you try, you can't do it. Are you weary? He says, come unto me. Come to Christ and rest. If you're burdened down with all the commandments of the law, and you're burdened down with all the added traditions of men, come to Christ. If you can't carry that burden, come to Christ and rest. Rest in Him. That is the whole meaning of the Sabbath law. See, the right view of all of God's law is not our personal obedience to it. The right view of the law and the right view of the Sabbath is grace and mercy that's in Christ, who kept the law for us. And the Savior said you'd understood that the whole meaning of this is grace and mercy. You'd understood that if you'd heard what I said before. See what he says in verse 7? But if you had known what this meaneth, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Now the Savior, the judge of all the earth, said his disciples are guiltless. This didn't give them guilt because they took this corn and ate it on the Sabbath day. They're guiltless. Why are they guiltless? Because of God's grace and mercy. The only way God can accept sinners like you and me is if God is merciful. Our inability to keep the law ought to make that obvious to us. God can't accept us by how we keep the law. He can only accept us in mercy. We desperately need God's mercy. And thankfully, God delights to show mercy to sinners. God will never be pleased with our motions of religion, but God's pleased with Christ. God will never be pleased with how well we keep the law, but He's pleased with Christ. God is pleased to show sinners mercy for Christ's sake and give them rest in Christ. That's what the Sabbath law is all about. Now think back to the first Sabbath day, very first Sabbath day. Who observed, who kept the first Sabbath day? God did. The Sabbath day is on Saturday. Saturday is the seventh day of the week. The Sabbath day falls on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, because for 6 days, the first 6 days, God worked in creation. And on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, Saturday, God rested. Now, God didn't rest because He was tired and He needed a day off. God rested from His work of creation because the work was finished. The work was all done, and the work was done perfectly. At the end of that sixth day, when God had created everything, God looked and He saw everything He made was very good. It was very good. Everything was done perfectly. No more work left to do, so God rested. And many years later, the law came. God gave the law to Moses. And the law gives us many, 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 many commandments, and you and I can't keep one of them. Christ came. When Christ came in the flesh, He obeyed every commandment of the law. The Lord Jesus did every thou shalt of the law, and He did it perfectly. The Lord Jesus did not do one thou shalt not of the law. He didn't even want to. He did it perfectly. He kept the law outwardly, but He also kept it inwardly, in His heart. It was His motive. You and I sometimes, we might not do something outwardly, but it's our desire to do it inwardly. Well, that makes us guilty. The Lord Jesus never even desired to do something sinful inwardly. He kept the law in motive. It was His delight to keep God's law. He kept the law so perfectly, He honored it and He magnified it. Now, all through His earthly ministry, our Lord Jesus worked hard at finishing the work that the Father had given Him to do. And He was a perfect, faithful servant, wasn't He? And when all of that work was done, all the work the Father gave Him to do, the work of righteousness was done. Righteousness had been established by Christ's obedience to the law. And when His sacrifice had completely paid for all of the sin of all of God's elect, the work was done. Everything was done. Everything the Father gave Him to do, He did. What did He say at that moment? It is finished. All the work is finished. The work of redemption is finished. And just like creation, God looked at that finished work and He said, it's very good. It's very good. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ has done is perfect. It's very good. Now remember, the Sabbath started when God observed the first Sabbath, and God rested on that Sabbath day because the work was finished. All right, how can you and I obey the Sabbath law? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. How can you and I obey the Sabbath law? The answer is very simple. It's by believing Christ. If you believe Christ, you'll rest. You'll have your Sabbath rest in Him. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, the Sabbath rest under the Old Testament law, that wasn't the rest of the people of God. Entering into the promised land, the land that God promised to give Israel, that was not the rest. They had both of those things. They had the law of the Sabbath. They had entered into the land of Canaan, the land God promised them. But that wasn't the rest. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Here it is, verse 10. He that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now, God rested from all of his work of creation because there was no more work left to do. That's Sabbath rest. Well, if you and I would believe Christ, we believe that Christ has finished all the work of redemption. If we believe Christ, we believe this. There's no more works left of the law for me to do in order to be saved. Christ finished it all. He already did it all. Well, if Christ finished all of the work, what's left for you and me to do? To rest. To rest, because we believe He is enough. We believe that Christ is enough. We believe everything that Christ did is enough, is all it takes to save me. So if we believe Christ, you know what we'll do? If we truly believe Christ, this is what we'll do. We'll quit trying to please God by what we do or what we don't do. And we'll rest in Christ because He pleased the Father. I can't please the Father, but Christ did. So I'm going to rest in Him. What I do or what I don't do can never please God. But what Christ did pleased the Father. So if I believe Christ, this is what I'll do. I'll rest in Christ. I'll quit trying to do things to make God happy with me and rest in Christ. See, that is entering into His rest. If you believe Christ, you'll enter into His rest, into God's rest. God rested because the work was done. That is entering into the rest that Christ earned for His people when He obeyed the law for them and He finished all of the work for them. That is how Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us to labor, work hard at entering into this rest. See what he says, verse 11 of Hebrews 4? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. See, not resting is unbelief, but resting is belief in Christ, believing and resting in Him. And this is what he tells us, because we're in the flesh, this is a fact. We have to constantly work to quit trying to do things to make God happy with us. This is what the flesh wants to do. The flesh is religious. It just is self-righteous. It wants to earn. It wants to earn its religion. It wants to have its religion be something it can earn from God. That's what the flesh wants. And you and I, even though we're believers, are still in the flesh. So we have to constantly work to quit doing what the flesh tells us to do. We have to constantly work at quit trusting our works of the flesh. And oh, that can happen so suddenly. You know, you ought to do acts of mercy. Acts of mercy were permitted on the Sabbath day under the law. You ought to do acts of mercy. You ought to do acts of kindness. You ought to do acts in the worship of God. But it can be subtle if you start relying on those things. If you start thinking, oh, that makes me a better Christian. That makes me higher up on the food chain, you know. We have to constantly work to lay that stuff down. We have to constantly work and not trusting in that stuff. And to rest in Christ. Now work to rest. Work to rest. That sounds like a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? But that is the lesson that the Lord is teaching here. To rest in Him. Believe Christ and rest in Him. That is the true meaning of the Sabbath law. All right, now look back in our text. Here's the third thing I want to show you. Matthew chapter 12. The Savior gives us an example of what He has been teaching. He gives us an example how He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 8, Matthew chapter 12. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And now He gives us a stark demonstration that He is the Lord of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? Asking this that they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days, and here's his example. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Now, is it right to do an act of mercy on the Sabbath day? You and I better hope it is. We better hope it is. Because that's what we need from God. We need mercy from God. We need God to do a work of mercy for us. Now, work to rest. That sounds like a contradiction in terms. That sounds impossible because working and resting are two opposites. How can I work to rest if working and rest are two opposite things? Well, it sounds like a contradiction in terms to tell a man with a withered, paralyzed hand to stretch it out. That sounds like a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? This man, the muscles in his hand and in his arm, they were withered. They were atrophied. They become smaller and smaller and smaller because of lack of use. He couldn't use those muscles because they were paralyzed. And they kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller because they had not been used. That hand could not move. The muscles in that hand and that arm could not move. It was impossible. But the Lord commanded him. Stretch forth that hand. When the Lord commanded that, the Lord did an act of mercy. He was in an act of mercy. He healed that hand. This was mercy from the Savior. With the command from the Savior came the power and the ability to stretch out that hand. And the Lord healed that hand. And he stretched it out. Now it sounds like a contradiction to work to rest. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Work to rest in Christ. But with the command from God comes the ability to obey. God does a work of mercy for his people, and he makes them whole. God does a work of mercy for his people, and he makes them guiltless, blameless. The Lord here defends, he shows himself here as his role as advocate for his people. His people are attacked. He acts as their advocate. He calls them blameless and he calls them guiltless. Why are they blameless? Why are they guiltless? Why are they justified? Because God sees them in Christ. See, God has done a work of mercy for his people. He's made them guiltless. He made them blameless. He's justified them. He's done a work of mercy for them. And he's done a work of mercy in their heart to enable them to believe Christ and to rest in him. Now, God commands us. This is his commandment to all men and women. Every son of Adam is commanded to do what is impossible for the flesh to do. To quit working, quit trying to please God by what you do, and to trust Christ, to believe on him. That's impossible for the flesh. But with the command from God comes the ability in his people to believe Christ and to rest in him. The ability comes from a work of mercy that God does in his people, making them whole and giving them a new heart of faith. The Lord healed this man. He no longer is going to have to be a beggar. He can go work for himself. He can provide for himself. Everybody should have been happy to see this man healed. And you know, some people are never satisfied. Look at verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. These men wanted to destroy the Lord Jesus because he healed a man on the Sabbath day. Now I'm telling you, that's how far down the rabbit hole we go when we try to be so rigid and so firm holding to our traditions. You know why these Pharisees were so mad? Because the Lord attacked their hope. He attacked their hope in themselves. He attacked their hope in their traditions. He attacked their hope there was something other than Christ alone. And they got so mad, they got so angry. and wannabe theologians do the exact same thing today. When you shut them up to Christ, when you preach and you shut them up to the Word of God, it doesn't matter what your religious traditions say, what does God's Word say? Oh, they get so mad and they attack you. They just spend a lifetime attacking you. But you know who was happy? Somebody was mad and somebody was happy. You know who was happy? The object of mercy. Can you imagine that man going, he just walking home, just looking at that hand, stretching that hand out. He'd reach and pick something up. He was so happy the Lord had healed him. That's how God's people are who rest in Christ. Oh, they're so happy. They're so happy to rest in Christ. To think that God's Son came and did for me what I can't do for myself. Enabled me to rest in Him. Oh, that makes me so happy. I hope and pray that God will enable you to rest in Christ this morning. I pray that resting in Christ will make us happy this morning. Happy in God's mercy and grace to us. All right. The Lord bless you.